Hi.
This is Take Charge Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist.
Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and we have a groundbreaking show today. Very important. What we've done over the years, over the last 20 years, we have spoken about psychiatric disorders, and there's been a bit of hopelessness in relationship to some of the problems. Our psychiatrist somehow, and we spoke with a doctor and multiple psychiatrists who said very directly that our psychiatrists had ceased to become doctors. They didn't look at blood tests. They didn't really work with people and what they did, and they gave out drugs to suppress symptoms, to literally conceal the problem. They had no relationship to healing. They had no relationship to cause. And to some, and many, said that they had ceased to be doctors. Well, needless to say, there became quite a crisis in the profession. And people outside of the profession have been working to look at causes, to look at manifestations of problems, and to attempt to develop programs that work. It was as a result of a dearth of guidance we were getting from the medical profession. And one of those people is this quite amazing lady, Doris King. She was introduced to me by Carol, so I'm going to ask Carol. Carol, would you mind introducing her to us and to our audience?
It was a happy occasion for me to learn about Doris King. She pointed out Doris King's bipolar book, which I picked up and read, and I was in complete agreement with. And Francesca's been saying to me, Carol, Doris has written more books. She has a bachelor's degree in arts and psychology. She's spent more than 7,000 hours of direct care experience working with adults and children with severe emotional and behavioral disorders. And she now teaches math and writing skills at a dropout prevention high school. So she's got enormous experience in this arena of mental health, some of it personal. I'm really pleased that we have her here today. I think you'll find her exceptionally brilliant and some of the ideas, and she encompasses just what we want in this show. Take charge of your health. Doris, welcome to our show, and I'd like to start out with asking you to tell us a little about yourself, and how did you come to write these books about mental diseases?
Thank you so much, Carol, for your warm welcome. And the way that I started to take charge of my health and write these books actually came from personal experience. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 19 years old. And just as you all mentioned in the introduction, there was really no relationship to healing or cause when it came to psychiatry. When I was diagnosed, I wanted to know what was causing my disease. I wanted to be free from it. But my psychiatrist gave me a prescription for Zoloft, and there wasn't very much attention that went into what was causing my disease. It was just, here, take the Zoloft, mask your symptoms, and come back in a month. And that approach to medicine and healing, it wasn't interesting to me, and I wasn't interested. But I was only 19, so I really didn't know what to do. So I actually ended up suffering for a long time from bipolar disorder. I had severe mood swings, clinical depression, racing thoughts, nervous breakdowns, and I also had the type of bipolar disorder that caused hallucinations. So I used to also hear what I thought were demons. And I had anxiety, constant fatigue, insomnia, you name it, I had it. But long before I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 19, I was actually diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome at the age of 16. And I always felt there was a hormonal connection to my mental health. But every time I would bring the topic up to my psychiatrist or to my OBGYN, conventional medicine hadn't got the message yet. They had no idea that the two were related. But I was telling them in my body, before my bipolar disorder developed, I had these menstrual irregularities. So long story short, I suffered greatly for years. From an undiagnosed hormonal imbalance, I suffered from bipolar disorder, and it nearly killed me. And the turnaround came for me at the age of 29 years old when I discovered the work of the late Dr. John Lee.
Amazing.
I found his book, Hormone, yes. I found his book, Hormone Balance Made Simple. Mm-hmm. And he was the first doctor to tell me, after I had been to doctors for years, he was the first doctor to tell me that if your body doesn't make progesterone, that's a big deal. I had never heard that message before.
Mm-hmm.
But it made perfect sense to me since I had PCOS since I was 16. So I discovered Dr. Lee at 29, 13 years after my PCOS diagnosis and 10 years after my bipolar diagnosis.
Well, it's interesting because when I was trained, I was taught that there's really no cure for bipolar. The best hope we could do is control them through drugs and the drugs were forever, but you were going to lose compliance. And so your job as a practitioner was to keep an eye on people and maintain compliance. And the reason why we lost compliance was because the drugs were so sedating, they literally knocked people out of the box of living. They really couldn't live. In order to suppress the symptoms, they were then put into this roller coaster of no symptoms or being drugged out, or no symptoms or being drugged out. And it was so frustrating for them because they couldn't get help. Where did you go after that? How did you get into nutritional relationships?
Well, the nutritional component, I found out about this year, the methylfolate component.
Oh.
And, yes, so this is new. If I talk about methylfolate,
okay.
And Sammy, this is like hot off the presses.
Because
it's a journey. When I wrote Curing Bipolar Disorder in 2009, I thought, clearly, I called the book Curing Bipolar Disorder and Schizophrenia. I thought correcting the progesterone deficiency was the end-all, be-all.
Well,
but
it's a wonderful piece.
Thank you so much. The progesterone is a huge part of healing bipolar disorder in men and women. Estrogen dominance causes the emotional symptoms of bipolar disorder. That cannot be taken away. But there is an additional component when it comes to anxiety and our body's fight-or-flight process. And that's where the methylfolate and the SAMe comes into play. And this is what I've been discovering this year. And that is the missing piece and the missing methylfolate and the missing SAMe is actually disrupting the progesterone production. I did not know that before in 2009. I wanted to know, why is progesterone missing? Why is there an interruption in ovulation? Why is progesterone production inadequate after ovulation? It is the SAMe connection.
Really?
So I didn't know this at 19, but absolutely what you said in terms of my option with the Zoloft was to be, you know, no symptoms. My options were to take the Zoloft and be completely drugged out or just feel my disease full on. And I took the option of feeling my disease full on, and it was extremely painful because I didn't have any safe alternatives. But my suffering pushed me to take charge of my health because I was the one that was about to go live in a mental institution. I was 29, and I needed to be on medical disability. I was too sick to work and couldn't financially take care of myself anymore. And so it was my life that was, you know, in limbo. It was my life that was, it was slipping away, and that forced me to take charge of my health. And I am a woman of faith. I had to pray, and I asked God for answers because the psychiatrist didn't have them, and I didn't know either. And I know that I was, God led me to Dr. Lee and also the information about SAMe and methylfolate.
So when you started to use progesterone, what amounts and how did you use it to help yourself, or what guidances do you give people now? I should also interject here that you do some YouTube coaching sessions every week for people all over the world. So what is your guidance, or how did you start to use progesterone to help yourself way back then?
Okay, the way that I used progesterone was I started with Dr. Lee's physiological amounts. And in his book, Hormone Balance Made Simple, he explained to us how much progesterone the body should be making. And he explained that premenopausal women, we are supposed to make 20 to 30 milligrams of progesterone daily for the 2 weeks following ovulation. And he explained that ovulation is typically 2 weeks before day one of our periods. So I knew that my goal in order to reach hormone balance was to be able to take a physiological amount and to be free from bipolar disorder. That is how I created my dosages. He also mentioned in his book something about a loading dose. He didn't go into great detail, but he mentioned when there's a severe deficiency that higher than normal doses need to be taken in order to overcome the great deficit. And so I just jumped in and I took tons of progesterone. He explained that during the last trimester of pregnancy that the placenta can make up to 400 milligrams of progesterone daily. So when there is a need for progesterone in the body, it can be as high as 400 milligrams.
Oh.
I didn't feel comfortable taking 400 milligrams, but I felt that safety range was there. So I started at about 160 milligrams daily. And I didn't know if I was doing the right thing. I was just, you know, I had the book, I had the PCOS diagnosis, and I was like, let's go. At the time when I started, I have to be honest, I had no idea that I was going to recover from bipolar disorder. I was fixing my progesterone deficiency that I knew existed because of PCOS. So that's what I did. I took progesterone 160 milligrams daily for the 3 weeks I was not on my cycle, and then I would stop a day or two before my cycle to allow it to come on. And then once it started, I would try to wait for my cycle to end, but many times I couldn't because the progesterone deficiency was so great that my body was like, what are you doing, you know, even during my cycle. So I would continue with supplementation. And if I needed more progesterone during the day, I would take it. So I probably was taking between 160 and 200, truthfully. And I was taking progesterone every day. And as my symptoms improved, I lowered my dose every month. And I noticed the biggest improvement in my symptoms after each cycle on progesterone. And that gave me the confidence to keep going. So my first cycle on progesterone therapy, taking hundreds of milligrams daily, one of my first symptoms to go away were hallucinations.
Oh, my goodness.
I had been hearing what I thought were demons every night since I was in the 11th grade, so I was around 16. So from the ages to 16 until 29, when I started progesterone therapy, I had been hallucinating for 13 years. In that moment, when I stopped hearing the demons, was when I realized that I had been hallucinating. Prior to then, I thought I was demon-possessed. So I understood so much about delusions and how people can really have twisted thinking because you're trying to make sense of what's happening to you. But it's been amazing. So I had a gradual improvement in my symptoms over time until it eventually disappeared. And it took me about 6.5 months to climb out of that progesterone deficiency deficit. But by the end of the 6.5 months, I was taking 20 to 30 milligrams just for the 2 weeks before my period. I wasn't taking 200 milligrams a day, and I was symptom-free. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I just recovered from bipolar disorder.
Well, that's
I'd like to interject
miraculous.
A couple things about progesterone here. So working with Women's International Pharmacy, we started using larger doses of progesterone for severe PMS, and the starting dose was 100 milligrams 4 times a day and going up from there. And I'd like to say a couple things about the numbers. When we're talking about milligrams of progesterone, this does not mean 100% of that is absorbed. So whereas your body makes a certain amount, and Dr. Lee's instructions about the amount, actually for the time he was writing it, was limited. We didn't know that progesterone is also made by the Schwann cells in every bit of the nervous system tissue in your body, and that progesterone is used locally. In your brain, there's independent production of progesterone, independent of the sex organs. And there's also progesterone made inside the cell. Every single cell in your body can create steroidal hormones. All the enzymes are there. The starting material is there. So realistically, there's a lot more progesterone around than we think. Mm-hmm. What I know from what you did is, because you kept it up, is the secret here, that you kept it going in and got symptom relief. I would submit that if you had known how safe and easy to use progesterone could be, you could have had a much shorter course till when you felt that you're stable and needed little or no progesterone at that time. There's another thing here I'd like to say is that we're all taught. I was taught this. Corinne, I'm sure you were taught this. Everybody in the medical field is taught that when progesterone goes down, it brings on your period. And I think that's untrue, and I'll say why I believe that's untrue, because we had many, many women using progesterone, high doses, and they still had symptoms into 1, 2, 3 days of bleeding. And we advised them not to stop the progesterone. And these were young women, as regular as anything. This did nothing to disturb the onset of bleeding. What I believe now is that you have to reach a certain critical amount of progesterone to make the endometrium secretory so you can slough that. And you said a very, very interesting thing I thought too was you use progesterone during your days of bleeding because you still had symptoms. All through the cycle, we get progesterone from our adrenal glands too. And so if you're pre-ovulation, if that's follicular time, you can measure progesterone there with lab tests or whatever. But the adrenal glands are a serious source of progesterone. And if you compare the units that how much progesterone you're making then and how much estrogen you're making then, progesterone is the far more abundant hormone. It's 1,000 times more important than estrogen by amounts that your body is producing.
Now, you said a few other things, but at other times. And one we started to discuss, but I want to focus on, that the medical profession in dealing with you was not managing the disease. And it was just suppressing whatever disease it could. And you didn't want to stay in a diseased state. And you said another word that just resonated with me was chemical sadness. That was so powerful. Chemical sadness. How many of us experience that? We're you know, John Lee, I went and took classes from John Lee. Right, I heard about John Lee. I heard about this thing called natural hormone therapy. What is this? What is it? So I flew to California and took classes from John Lee. And I was like blown away. And in terms of the breadth of understanding that I had no idea about. But I think we need to look at something else. This is a little off topic, but on topic, is birth control pills. John Lee talks about don't take hormones you don't need. Never take a non-synthetic hormone. And always create hormone balance. Those were three of his major rules. I kept them in my mind all the time. Now, we're seeing women that are 20 years on birth control pills. What do you think of that? And how do you see it affecting us?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with Dr. Lee. And like you, Corinne, I have memorized his three rules of hormone balance, and they are memorized in my heart. And birth control pills, they break every rule. Don't take hormones we don't need the extra estrogen and progesterone that's in birth control pills. And in fact, there are women who they have no issues with estrogen or progesterone production, but after they've been taking birth control pills for 20 years, now they've given themselves hormonal imbalance, fertility issues. So just as Carol was saying, progesterone goes beyond fertility. It's made in every cell by the adrenal glands, by our nerve cells, and so I think when birth control pills were created, women, we wanted the freedom to have children when we wanted to, and that's why the birth control was given. But now, since we know that progesterone extends beyond reproduction, there are other areas that are being impacted by these hormones, and not only that, they're synthetic. And when we're taking hormones that are not natural to the body, there is an effect. When there is an extra chemical group hanging out there that we've introduced to the body, it doesn't matter that it's been FDA approved. It's not nature approved. And there has to be some effect, and I believe that we have many diseases that are connected to birth control pill consumption because hormones are being ingested, and those hormones are sending out instructions to be performed in the body that are not natural to the body. And now we're having to suffer the consequences from it. And they're bad. And I think women, we're going to have to look at non-hormonal birth control options if becoming pregnant is something that is a concern for us, because birth control pills are not safe. And many of us, we don't understand, as Carol was explaining, the menstrual cycle, that there's pre-ovulation in the follicular phase, in the luteal phase, and that progesterone is made after ovulation by the empty follicle sac. These are things that are completely lost. We just don't know how our bodies work, or even many women, how we become pregnant or when the egg is released. And it seems so simple to take the birth control pills, but we're suffering because of it. They are not good. And I wish I could speak more on the from what I understand, I know Carol has done a lot of research, but from my understanding, the message that estrogen sends to the cells are to multiply. And one of the signals that progesterone sends is to differentiate and for cells to die when they're supposed to and become what they're supposed to. So those are the messages that estrogen and progesterone naturally send out into the body. So if we're taking birth control pills that we don't need, those messages are still being sent. And what if the birth control pill is estrogen heavy? So now you have this message of, yeah, multiplication.
Proliferation.
Cells being, yeah, proliferation. That's the word I was looking for. You have this extra proliferation that you don't need. And from what I understand, cancer is linked to uncontrolled proliferation. I just think we need to look into it. And I think that a lot of the diseases that we have, we're ingesting them ourselves. And our doctors, in the conventional sense, have given them to us because they didn't know any better.
That's unfortunate. And we're speaking with Doris King. She's an author of a book on bipolar disorder and how we, and schizophrenia, and how we can cure ourselves, how we can take charge of our health and cure ourselves. This is really important information. This is Take Charge of Your Health. I have a question. Now, I used to go to many conferences when there were conferences. Right now, they're all closed down. But Dr. Abrams, do you know the work of Dr. Abrams?
Abe Hoffer, do you mean?
Hoffer, I'm sorry. Abe Hoffer. And he worked in Canada. He was from Vancouver and worked with schizophrenia. And he worked with it through essential fatty acids and NAD. And that's an active component of niacin. So it's the activated component of niacin. Have you seen effects of that? But at the same time, even with all that and all the work he did, he got people out of hospitals who suffered from schizophrenia for 20 years with this combination. He never said he cured schizophrenia. You're saying that you can be free of it. He said he was controlling it through natural means, but never curing it.
Yes. What Dr. Hoffer proposed in terms of niacin, NAD, the activated niacin, it actually fits in with what we know about methylfolate. NADH acts on one of the folate activating genes, DHFR. And so this actually lines up with everything that I'm saying about methylfolate and SAMe. When the body doesn't, this is just another way that methylfolate activation is disrupted, and this is another way in which SAMe is disrupted. And when that happens, the essential fatty acids become low, and mental illnesses, they occur. So he just actually gave us another avenue by which people can become mentally ill. Anything that disrupts methylfolate formation or SAMe formation can cause bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or schizoaffective disorder. Any disruption. So one of those ways that methylfolate formation can be disrupted is when activated niacin is missing, because DHFR is needed in order to change our dietary folate, which is an essential vitamin, B9, into its active form, which is methylfolate.
Can you explain that to us? And where do we get folate? Can we get it in our foods?
Okay. Yes. Vitamin B9 is folate, and it's an essential vitamin, and it's rich in foods like asparagus, black-eyed peas, black beans, romaine lettuce. And what happens is nobody ever told us, no one tells us that vitamin B9 is essential to mental health, but it is. What happens when we eat vitamin B9? There are several genes in our bodies that are responsible for converting this B9 dietary into a usable activated form. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the B9 that we eat from asparagus needs to change into methylfolate. And for it to get to methylfolate and become methylfolate, it goes through several processes. One of those processes is to go through a few genes. One of them is called DHFR, which stands for dihydrofolate reductase. There's another one called SHMT, which stands for serine hydroxymethyltransferase. And then there's one that has been getting a lot of attention. It's called MTHFR, which stands for methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. And I think what we're going to find is people who have mental illnesses, If there is a defect or a variant on any of these genes, we all have a copy of these genes. We have two copies. We get one from mom and dad. When there is a defect, the body's ability to make methylfolate can be reduced by as much as 70%, depending on what combination we have. Now, most people aren't even eating enough folate because mm-hmm. no one told us that it mattered. But what happens when our body gets to the point and it has made methylfolate? Methylfolate is actually needed. It's the activated form of vitamin B9, and our body needs methylfolate to make the neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline, and also the sleep hormone, melatonin. If our bodies do not have methylfolate, none of those hormones and neurotransmitters can be made. None of them.
That's an amazing statement and important for so many of us. Carol?
Doris, could you clarify for me just a little bit? Dr. Hoffer used niacin, essential fatty acids. He also used vitamin C. And he used that in quite high doses. So is this actually helping our methylfolate production in our body, or is this a separate pathway entirely?
Great question. What Dr. Hoffer spoke on with the activated niacin, it is part of the methylfolate formation. It's one of the first steps, one of the genes that acts on the dietary folate that we eat that's called, you know, B9, we eat it. One of the first genes that is involved in methylfolate conversion is called DHFR. And B9 goes through two passes of DHFR, and NADH is involved with each pass. So it needs to be in place. So technically, that is an interruption of methylfolate formation. Someone doesn't have to technically have a problem with the folate activating genes. They can have a deficiency in one of the cofactors. And so the people who were helped by Dr. Hoffer, they were helped because they had an NAD deficiency. But any disruption in that entire pathway, you're going to get the same result. And so it takes a functional medicine practitioner to be able to pinpoint where the problem is. Because a deficit, once methylfolate is formed, there's still more work to be done. Methylfolate then interacts with vitamin B12 and homocysteine, and then it makes methionine. And then methionine is converted with another gene, has to convert it into SAMe, which is also called SAM, S-adenosylmethionine. And the problem with mental illness, we have known for years that there was an HPA axis dysfunction. We've known that. And the reason that there is an HPA...
Can you explain to our audience what the HPA axis is?
Yes. The HPA axis is, it controls our body's emergency stress response system, and the H stands for the hypothalamus, the P stands for the pituitary gland, and the A stands for our adrenal glands. And what happens whenever we are stressed out, the hypothalamus sends a chemical message called CRH to the pituitary gland, which sends a chemical message called ACTH to the adrenal glands. And in turn, the adrenal glands produce adrenaline, and they produce the stress hormone, cortisol. And it's the presence of cortisol in the body. This is a feedback loop. The presence of cortisol is designed to turn off fight or flight. CRH is supposed to decline once cortisol is introduced to the body. This is the normal process. But when we have bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and schizoaffective disorder, everything that I was talking about with the methylfolate pathway and the production of SAMe is needed in order for cortisol to give its message. And that's why we are suffering. People with mental illnesses, we are stuck in fight or flight. This ties into what Dr. Hoffer says. The first doctor to explain fight or flight, I believe his name is Dr. Walter Cannon. And he explained that when we go through fight or flight, our body burns through fatty acids, our immune system is activated, reproduction shut down, that's where the progesterone deficiency comes in at, and digestion shut down. And so what we're looking at when we look at bipolar disorder and the related diseases, we're looking at people who are stuck in fight or flight, Sammy is low across the board, but then we have to figure out why is it low? Is it because of missing methylfolate? Is it because the genes that are responsible for acting methylfolate are missing? Is it because we aren't eating enough dietary folate? Is it because the activated niacin is missing? The genes are fine, but the cofactors aren't there to make the conversion.
And
that's
protein.
Where you have to work with the physician.
And protein also is an important piece of this. I see people come in my office all the time. They don't feel well, and the first thing that they want to detox or cleanse themselves, and the first thing they attempt to eliminate is all proteins. And the end result is they don't feel well. They feel worse than when they started, because they're interfering with that access. They're interfering with their detox genes, and they're not getting enough of what their body needs. So all of this comes down to balance. And it sounds pretty complicated, all the different genes and the different activations. What I'd like to bring it back to, and I'll start on in my office, I had a woman that was bleeding, vaginally bleeding so heavily, it was like a faucet was turned on. She would go to the hospital. They'd give her estrogens. They would stop the bleeding for a period of time or slow down the bleeding. And then it would start up again. And at the time she came to see me, she was literally within a day or two having to go to the hospital for a transfusion. So I started her out on, you know, B vitamins, but I started her out. We started at 500 milligrams of progesterone. And I said, see how that works, and then we're going to go up from there till this stops. And she ended up at 600. At 500, it began to slow down significantly. It became functional. At 600, it stopped. And we kept it at that point for a long period of time, like a month. And then we slightly began to lower the progesterone till it became more within a normal range. But this literally lack of progesterone was threatening her life. So we're not talking about something mild. We're talking about very serious conditions that can be balanced through an understanding that all our hormones are sending out signals and they're signalers and they have to be in a balance. But when you come in with such a pathology, we're not dealing with a balance. We're dealing with an empty water bucket in the desert. And before we get response, we have to fill up the bucket. And then we can put drip, drip, drip in to maintain it. But it takes that type of work to see it. So that's one of the things I have. I want to go back to chemical sadness. Is this protocol only for schizophrenia? Or is it for, because with all the stress we're living through right now, people are so frightened. And so they're getting anxiety attacks. They're feeling depressed. They don't have enough money. Their partner isn't working. Is this just about schizophrenia, or is this about a chemical sadness that we can create new levels of balance?
Great question. We can create new levels of balance. And I know I got deep into the science because I love research just as much as Carol does. But it's really simple, like you were saying, Corinne. The anxiety, the heavy bleeding, the fibroids, it's really simple. Restore your progesterone levels and take the amount that your body needs in order to create balance. So one person may need 200 milligrams, and someone else may need 500 milligrams. Progesterone is needed. Take what your body needs until you are symptom-free, until your heavy bleeding is gone, until your chemical sadness is gone, your mood swings. Progesterone is the body's mood stabilizer. And just as Carol was mentioning earlier, it's needed in the brain. It builds the myelin sheath, and it's needed for clear nerve cell communication. It balances the effects of sodium and in the brain. And when sodium and potassium are out of balance because of estrogen dominance, then you're going to hallucinate. And so you don't have to understand the science of it. You just need to know that your body needs it, and you need to deliver what your body needs for balance. So I believe that the key for those who have schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or schizoaffective disorder, clinical depression, is to take the progesterone to heal the emotional symptoms of their disease. And then they need SAMI, which is also called SAM, to address the anxiety-related conditions. And SAM was the component that I did not know about when I wrote my first book in 2009, but it is needed to regulate the HPA axis. And if people who have mental illnesses can just understand to restore their progesterone and to restore their SAMI, their lives will change.
That's an amazing story. I'd like to bring up adrenaline. And we've had Dr. Michael Platt on our show. He's written a book about adrenaline. Dr. Abe Hoffer was thinking that abnormal metabolism of adrenaline was responsible for schizophrenia, and that abnormal metabolism was happening because of not enough niacin. Did you investigate that aspect of this at all?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Okay.
Someone knocked on my door.
Oh, okay. So it was Dr. Hoffer felt that schizophrenia was tied into abnormal metabolism of adrenaline, which is also behind that fight and flight thing. It's the thing that constricts our blood vessels and makes our heart race. And essentially a panic attack. It's the adrenaline. So he felt that the hallucinations, for instance, came from faulty metabolism of adrenaline. Dr. Platt has written a whole book on adrenaline, and he feels that progesterone is the natural balancer of adrenaline. So have you investigated that particular piece of this puzzle, or how does that sound to you? Is this a rational idea as well?
Yes, it is rational. I love Dr. Platt. And just as you mentioned earlier, how progesterone is produced by the adrenal glands, it's made by the adrenal glands to make cortisol, and it's also made by the adrenal glands to make aldosterone. And cortisol is needed to turn off fight or flight, so it has like a indirect effect on adrenaline. What happens in mental illness is, in terms of adrenaline, adrenaline is linked to mania. And so uncontrolled adrenaline release causes the racing thoughts, the pressured speech, and the boundless energy, because your body is not able to regulate adrenaline. And just from my own personal experience, when I took progesterone, it took care of the mood swings, the hallucinations. I didn't have the severe racing thoughts or anything. So there is a connection. I didn't understand the full biology of it. I'm not sure why progesterone was able to dampen my adrenaline, but it did. But one thing I will say was not corrected by simply taking progesterone. My cortisol was still sky high. My anxiety was still present. So there was always another piece. But all of the hormones, they're working together, and we have to fix these things preventatively, because they have bigger impacts on us besides emotional health. They're affecting blood vessels, like you said. Heart health is impacted, immune system. So we really want to get to the bottom line of these diseases.
So I have two questions. One you answered, but I want to emphasize, I want the audience to hear this. Then that is males and progesterone. Now, is it okay to be giving this level of progesterone necessary to males also? And the second question, I'll give them both at the same time, so I won't need to butt in a little bit. Or as I'd love to hear, because I know you're treating patients, I'd love to hear some examples of how people's life has changed or their struggles and what happened when they did these few very simple adjustments in their nutrient regime. So could you explain both of those to us, please?
Yes. Males can also have clinical depression that's caused by low progesterone. I think for so long we thought and believed that progesterone was a female hormone. And since we know it balances the effects of estrogen, we don't think of men having estrogen. But men also have high amounts of estrogen in their brains, and that estrogen must be balanced by progesterone. And when it's not, they will be clinically depressed. They will have bipolar disorder. They will hallucinate. They will have schizophrenia. The male brain makes their estrogen from testosterone. I read this from the book, The Testosterone Syndrome. And he explained in his book that the male brain converts testosterone over into estrogen. This was Dr. Eugene Shippen. And that estrogen that's in the male brain must be balanced by progesterone. Now, in terms of amounts, I always go back to Dr. Lee, but he mentioned that a healthy, like, standard dose for men, they typically make around 10 milligrams daily. And he mentioned that menopausal women, those who aren't in a disease state, they typically make around 20 to 30 milligrams daily, somewhere around there. So just from my understanding, I saw that men were making less. So I'm not sure if I would give a male, I would let the male's symptoms dictate what he needs. If someone's hallucinating, you are on the deep end in terms of a severe progesterone deficiency. And so you need to start with a high dose until the hallucinations go away. And when they go away, then you can reduce the dose. So I think a lot of men are missing that they need this very important hormone, because we've assigned this hormone to women only, when it could not be further from the truth. Just as Carol mentioned earlier, it's needed for the adrenal glands. It's made by our nerve cells. It's made throughout the body, Schwann cells. And so it's bigger than mental health, but mental health is a huge component. Now, in terms of how people's lives have changed over the years, I've helped men and women recover from hallucinations and bipolar disorder and schizophrenia just by them taking progesterone alone. I've received thank you letters, people thanking me that people are not giving them strange looks anymore because they're not out of their minds anymore. They're not high on their body's chemicals anymore. I've worked with women who were unable to carry a pregnancy to full term because they would always miscarry in the first trimester. They had no idea that they were progesterone deficient. I've helped women who've had large fibroids, and her doctor told her that she needed to have surgery, and they were able to not have surgery after shrinking their fibroids, taking progesterone. So it's been very satisfying to get this information out, especially to those of us in the mental health community, because so many of us are told when we're diagnosed that, hey, this is a life sentence. You're just going to have to deal with it. And many of us are judged if we don't want to take the conventional approach of psychiatric medications. And we don't want that. We want to be healed. We want to address the root causes, and by taking progesterone, people are able to balance the effects of estrogen and get on with their lives. And I can speak so clearly about it because I know what it feels like to be high on estrogen. And let me tell you, it does not feel good. And so it's really simple. And the great thing is that progesterone and estrogen, they are measurable. When we go and we're prescribed Zoloft or Geadon or Halidol or whatever, there's no blood test for that. But we can measure progesterone and estrogen through blood spot, finger prick test, and saliva test. And these tests can show what the active levels of hormones are in the body. So if someone is not comfortable, male or female, taking hormones based off of my word alone or based off of their symptoms alone, they can have blood spot tests. And ZRT Lab is great. I've had subscribers from my YouTube channel. They've worked with Everly well. I haven't personally, but people are taking exams and they have the proof. And then they can move forward. I moved forward based off of my symptoms alone, but some people need to see a lab report. Whatever the listener needs to do to feel comfortable, that's what they need to do, but options are available. And it's empowering to know that it's really horrible to be high on estrogen and not address it. You can't just hope and wish that your estrogen imbalance or dominance will go away. It will not go away. It causes clinical depression. It causes pain. And another thing, I'm going back to men. I know I'm going back and forth, but with men and estrogen dominance, sometimes they can get some female effects. Men may have breast development, and they may also have excessive belly fat in proportion to the rest of their body. A lot of times, men and women, when we have this condition, we're going to have blood sugar irregularities, insulin resistance. There are so many things going on beyond our mood, and just take your hormone balance test and give your body the progesterone that it needs. Progesterone is the missing hormone in mental health, and once psychiatrists, since they are seen as the leaders in the field of mental health, once they get this message, they can start treating people and giving higher amounts even than what I took. Like Carol said, I didn't know that I could go higher than 200 milligrams. I was afraid. I was treating myself at home. I was, my conventional doctor knew nothing about progesterone. Mm-hmm. I was alone, and I'm like, I don't want to go up to 400, but it's great to know that that's even safe and even beyond that. So I'm just really excited that we have this knowledge now, because now we can be well and now we can heal. I had no idea. If I go to my 19-year-old self, I had no idea that it was a big deal that I wasn't ovulating. I didn't know how sick I would become, and I didn't know how scary life would be. And I'm just so grateful. I am grateful for Dr. Lee's work on estrogen dominance, and I'm very happy that I could go to my local health food store and buy it without a prescription, because I didn't have any money when I discovered progesterone. And so I'm just really, really happy. And I want everybody who has bipolar disorder or any of the related illnesses, I want them to be happy too, because they have access to the progesterone. And progesterone will not only work in my body, it will work in their bodies too. And they will experience the health that they have wanted for ever since they were diagnosed. You know, their disease is not a life sentence. They can get well, but balance is key. And progesterone, it must be restored. And that is the first step before anything else, before SAMI or methylfolate. The first step is to bring balance to your body with your progesterone. And when you do that, you will be healed.
What a nice recap. Doris, would you like to tell our audience how they can reach you, your website, for instance?
Yes, I can be reached on my website, which is Doris King Online. I'm also on YouTube. That's where I am most. I go live often, but I go live every single Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so if any listener has any questions about anything that I've said during this interview, I'm more than happy to clarify things for them and to help them on their journey.
Yeah, one thing that I've heard you speak about on the internet is the thyroid connection. And we got so busy today, we didn't really direct many questions to the thyroid connection and mental health and its relationship to hormones and hormone balance also. So we have more to talk about. I want to thank you so much for your work. I'm just really impressed with the work that you are doing and have done. Now, you embody exactly what we're attempting to share with the audience. It's called Take Charge of Your Health. There's nobody else we can depend upon other than ourselves. The consequences are ours, and the success becomes ours also. But it's that seeking. It's that not, you know, if you had gone to many doctors, this is it forever. Forever, these are the drugs, and this is what you have to do. But you chose to go deeper than that. You chose to take charge. And I want to thank you for sharing your journey with us, because in hearing this, it empowers all of us. So,
thank you, Corinne and Carol.
It was a wonderful hour. I'm quite impressed. Thanks, Carol, for bringing Doris to us. And I want to thank the audience for being here and listening and spending this hour. I know you learned, and we'll be back next week. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Their website is Redding Left Hook. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.